the beautiful fall morning. Joy to drive here. If you did not get a handout, please raise your hand and be sure that you get one of those handouts. I don't know if you know this, but October is Cancer Awareness Month. And so we had a celebration yesterday. Congratulations to Sharon, 5 years being cancer-free. And we had a kind of a combination of a birthday party and a cancer-free party and a October party. So we look here today. I want us to, our theme is to take root downward and to bear fruit upward. I wonder if you could turn on the back monitors so we could see that, please. Take root downward and bear fruit upward. And so we've been looking at sowing and reaping, the 10th message here, and we're closing our series of messages on Jonah. And Jonah pouts, and look at the words here of Jonah chapter 4 and verse 1. But the Jonah seemed very wrong, and he became angry. Let's bow in prayer as we begin. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. We see the beauty of your creation, and we have much to give thanks for. And Lord, I pray that you would open our ears and open our hearts. May we come before your presence and ask that your voice would speak to us. Anoint your servant. Give the words you would have to be said. And Lord, we pray for each one here this day. We ask that your spirit would move in our midst, and we ask that you would speak to us. For those who are ill, we pray your hand be upon them and to strengthen them. And Lord, we pray thanking you today for what you're going to do. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. As we think about this here, the first question I want to ask is, what makes you happy? Now, there may be a number of different things that make you happy. And having a good day or whatever it might be, but what makes you angry? And there are things that maybe upset you. And what makes you want to give up? And when a person gets their own way, then they may be happy. When a person doesn't get their own way, they may become angry. And when they may even want to give up, they may pout and want out. I think about this. We think about pouting. The picture of pouting, a child sometimes pouts. They stick their bottom lip out and pouting that they didn't get their way, that they're upset and angry. Now, when you think about here of Jonah, what made Jonah happy? What made him angry? As we look at this chapter 4, what made him want to give up? But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. And we looked at chapter 1, Jonah ran from God. In chapter 2, Jonah ran to God. In chapter 3, Jonah ran for God. And then chapter 4 here, we see Jonah runs against God. He ran against God. As we look at these chapters here in Jonah. Now, the key thought I want us to think here, God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. You know, if this book had ended at the last verse of chapter 3, history would have portrayed Jonah in the greatest of the prophets. Jonah preached one message and motivated thousands of people to repent and turn to the Lord and to God. And there was a great awakening, one of the greatest we see in history. We talked about last week, the Great Awakenings, where people turned to God, and we see one of the greatest ones in history right here through the preaching of Jonah. And Lord, how God used him. But the Lord does not look on the outward things. God looks at the heart, and he weighs the motives. Why do we do what we do? In chapter 4, it reveals the thoughts and the motives of Jonah's heart. And really, it it causes us to search our own hearts and to consider what are our motives, what are our purposes. And you think about this, if in chapter 1, Jonah is like the prodigal son, we talked about that, insisting on doing his own will and going his own way. Then in chapter 4, he's kind of like the prodigal's older brother, critical, selfish, pouting, angry, unhappy with what's going on. And so we're reminded of the fact that it isn't enough for God's servants simply to do God's will. But we need to do God's will from the heart. That's a reminder. Not just that we do God's will, but we do it from the heart with the right purpose and right motive. And Warren Wiersbe said this, the heart of every problem is the heart in the is the problem in the heart. Let me repeat that. The heart of every problem is the problem in the heart. And that's a good reminder to all of us of how important it is that we keep our hearts right before God. And, you know, how do you handle bad attitudes? God tenderly deals with his pouting prophet here, we see in chapter 4. And he sought to bring Jonah back to the place of joy and fellowship. So how do you handle bad attitudes? You know, it'd be nice if we had a little attitude adjuster, an attitude adjustment knob on the on our heads here. That when we get a bad attitude, that we could adjust it and make it a good attitude. Sometimes as parents, we wish we had that maybe on the back of the head of our children, an attitude adjustment. But we all need that. There are times that our attitudes need to be adjusted. And so we see here how does God handle Jonah's bad attitudes? How does God speak to Jonah? So I want you to look with me at chapter 4, and we see how God listens, how he comforts, and how he teaches Jonah. And this is a good lesson for us, how God would listen to us, and how he would comfort us and also teach us what we need to learn. You know, this applies to each of our hearts. And Lord, help us to learn this here. So first of all, God listens. Praise God that he listens. He listened to Jonah's prayers. And we see here, as we look at this book of Jonah, we see two prayers that stick out that Jonah prayed here. And Jonah's first prayer was in chapter 2 and verse 1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. You think about this, he prayed his best prayer in the worst place, the fish's belly. And his first prayer came from a broken heart when he asked God to save him. You know, sometimes we pray our best prayers when we're in our most desperate situation. We pray our best prayers. And so Jonah here, in my distress, I called to the Lord. He answered me. And he answered me. You know, we need to pray continually. But whether the difficulty is a place of distress or whatever it might be, we need to pray continually. God listens to our prayers. And then I want you to see Jonah's second prayer. In chapter 4 and verse 2, he prayed to the Lord. Now, here, he prayed his worst prayer in the best place. Go figure that out. He is at Nineveh, where God was working a mighty work. And in his second prayer, it came from an angry heart when he asked God to take his life. And so we look at these two prayers. What a contrast there is in these two prayers. But God listens to our worst prayers and God listens to our best prayers. God wants our prayers to come from our heart and from a broken heart. Now, God not only listens to our prayers, but God listens to our thoughts. God knows every thought that we have. And so God also listened to Jonah's thoughts. Now, Jonah, first of all, he had some good theology. You know, when you think about theology, what is theology? It's what his thoughts were about God. And we read here in chapter 4, he says this, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." At least five times in the Old Testament we see this expression that God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And Exodus and Nehemiah and Psalm and the book of Joel, we see this over and over again. And so we need, first of all, what are our thoughts about God? What is our theology? And this is kind of, we understand a little bit of background here, why he didn't want to go to Nineveh, why he fled here to Tarshish, because he knew God was gracious. And he did not want God to be gracious to the people of Nineveh. And that brings us to the second of his thoughts here, Jonah's thoughts for his reputation. There's a difference between reputation and character. Character is what we really are inside. Reputation is what people think we are, what we want people to think about us. So what are his thoughts about himself? And then we read this in chapter 4, verse 3. "Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." At least three times here in chapter 4, he repeats these thoughts. "Take my life away from me." What causes a person to get this low where they consider it's not worth living? Well, Jonah was concerned about his reputation as a prophet. Not only before the Ninevites, you know, he had preached God's judgment. And if God did not bring judgment upon him, what would be his reputation as a prophet? But also before the Jews back home. His Jewish friends would want to see all the Assyrians destroyed. We could think of Jonah as a patriot, even a narrow-minded patriot, who saw Assyria only as a dangerous enemy to destroy, not as repentant sinners to be brought to the Lord. And so he was so distraught, so upset, that he wanted to die. He did not think it was worth living. And so God listens to our prayers, but God also listens to our thoughts. And there's an application here that we need to consider, that God listens and responds. In chapter 4 and verse 4, we read these words, "But the Lord replied to Jonah, 'Is it right for you to be angry?'" Think about it, Jonah. Is it right for you to be angry? And this was God's tender response, was to ask Jonah to examine his heart and see why he really was angry. For selfish reasons, he was angry. You know, Psalm 26 and verse 2, "Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and examine my mind. Know what's in my heart and know what's in my thoughts. And Lord, examine my heart." And when we do that, we examine our heart before God, it often leads us to a broken heart, realizing that the thoughts of our heart are not right before God. I see here how God listens. And that brings also to the next point, that God not only listens, but He comforts. God comforts. Now I want you to see here, first of all, how He comforted Jonah with a protection. Jonah had gone out, and he sat down at a place east of the city of Nineveh. And there he made himself a shelter. Put some rocks around him and made himself a shelter. And he sat in its shade and he wanted to see what would happen to the city of Nineveh. He got a box seat, a prime seat, a good seat where he could see from that location if God was going to bring destruction upon that city of Nineveh. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. So not only did he have a good location, but then God comforted him by protecting him with this plant from the hot sun of the day. Now, as we look here at Jonah, we see that Jonah, again, that he is pouting. He sat down in a place east of the city where he could see what will happen. And like the older brother in that parable, the parable of the prodigal, he wouldn't go in and enjoy the feast that his younger brother had returned. He should have gone in and rejoiced, enjoyed the feast. Jonah should have been in the midst of the city of Nineveh, rejoicing over the people who are returning to God. But instead of that, he's gone to the top of that mountain there, that hill, and he's pouting. Just like the older brother. Not pleased with what God is doing. And as he pouts there, Jonah was also protected. God graciously, notice different things here in this chapter that God provided. But God graciously provided a plant. Now, we don't know what this leafy plant, what it was. Some type of gourd, perhaps. Maybe if you're into this season here, maybe it was a pumpkin, if you want to stretch that a little bit. But it was something that to grow, whose large leaves would protect Jonah from the hot sun. And this made Jonah happy. Now we see happiness oftentimes is connected with our comfort. And what makes us comfortable is what makes us happy. But you know, the Bible speaks of joy that is in the heart that is greater than happiness. You know, I can be happy because of my circumstances. I can be happy because of what I have. But joy in the heart, no matter what our circumstances are, is much deeper. And so God comforts Jonah. But I also want you to see here that the God who comforts us sometimes also discomforts us. Sometimes we need to be made uncomfortable. And so he discomforts Jonah with pain. Now, it could be various degrees of pain, but we read these words here. But at dawn, the next day, God provided something else. He provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. It killed the plant. And so when the sun rose, God provided, again, another thing that God provided, a scorching east wind. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint and he wanted to die. It would be better for me to die than to live. And so as he sat there, Jonah grew faint. God prepared a worm to kill that plant and Jonah was unhappy. God permitted a scorching hot sun and a smothering desert wind, all these things that made him uncomfortable. And so Jonah, again, wanted to die, wanted to give up. God was reminding Jonah what it was like to be lost, what it was like to be helpless and hopeless and miserable. And so in this condition, he feels hopeless. He feels helpless. He feels miserable. He wants to give up. Sometimes God's reminding him what people are like. They're lost. They have no hope. They have no help. They have no comfort. So God comforts us But God also sometimes has to discomfort us, to make things uncomfortable, to cause us to turn to Him. You see the different things that God prepared here. These are all part of the 10 miracles in the book of Jonah we've talked about. And so we see here God comforts and discomforts. But God said to Jonah, second time He asked him this question, is it right for you to be angry? But notice the three words He adds to that question. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Very specific. Jonah, of course, answered in a very selfish way. It is, he said. And I am so angry, I wish I were dead. And so unrighteous anger produces the poison of selfishness in the heart. Unrighteous anger. Now, God is pointing out to him, this plant, which you had nothing to do with, it grew, it provided you comfort, it died, you had nothing to do with it, you didn't sow the seed, you didn't water it, you didn't do anything. And yet you are more concerned about this plant than the people of Nineveh. And so God listens, graciously listens, and there's a lesson here perhaps for us as parents that we need to listen. Our children, God comforts and also discomforts. Sometimes we have to be confronted. But the third thing I want you to see here is that God also teaches us. God has lessons for us to learn throughout our life. And here are some lessons that God has for Jonah. Lessons about who God is and what God is like. The first lesson is a lesson about God's providence and His patience. In chapter 1, you can't run away from God. God's providence. God is everywhere. God knows all things. And you can't run from God. Whatever you may try to do, you cannot run from God. God is everywhere. And God is patient. God is patient for us. He comes wherever we are. And whatever our heart attitude may be, God is seeking and pursuing us. And then a lesson number 2 is a lesson about God's pardon and forgiveness. In chapter 2, God forgives those who call upon Him. And Jonah learned that lesson himself, how God forgave him. As he called out to God in the belly of that fish, God forgave him and rescued him and saved him. What a lesson that should have been to Jonah, how God could pardon him. Should he not pardon the people of Nineveh? God could show him mercy. Should he not show mercy to those of Nineveh? And then the third lesson is a lesson about God's power. Chapter 3, he saw that great city, one of the greatest cities of ancient times, that great city, that whole city, humbled itself before God. It's probably the biggest of the 10 miracles of Jonah. A great city of Nineveh turned from the greatest to the least. We saw that last time. A great awakening, turning to God. He saw this lesson of God's power. And so we need to be reminded, God's providence, God's at work, God's pardon, God forgives, God's power. And then this fourth lesson, chapter 4, was a lesson about God's pity. God has compassion for lost sinners, like the Ninevites, and His servants must also have compassion. God shows us what His mercy and compassion is like, and He wants His children to also have compassion. We read in chapter 4 here, but the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprung up overnight, it died overnight. And should I not have concern for that great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than a 120,000 people who cannot tell the right hand from the left, and also many animals. God wants us to learn about His compassion. This is one of the very important lessons that we learn here about His compassion. What is God concerned about? The things that God is concerned about are the things that we ought to be concerned about. First of all, God is concerned about all. He's concerned for all. It says here, the people who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. Now, when you think about who cannot tell which is my right hand and which is my left hand, speaking here of little children who don't know the difference between their right hand and their left hand. And so the city of Nineveh had 120,000 small children. Now, if you estimate, that makes this a city of maybe a million and a half, which would be about the area of Kansas City, population of greater Kansas City. It's interesting, there was an evangelist who once gave a report of his meeting that night, evangelistic service. And someone asked him, how did your evangelistic service go tonight? And he said, praise God, there were 2.5 people saved. Well, 2.5 people were saved. What do you mean, 2.5 people were saved? Oh, then he thought, I know what you mean. You mean 2 adults were saved and 1 child was saved. And the man said, no. 2 children were saved and 1 adult was saved. You see, the children have their whole life to live for the Lord. The adult has already spent half of his life. So 2.5 were saved. And we need to look at that as understanding how important that we reach out to children and young people while they have their whole life to live. You know, that's important, that we have compassion upon children and young people as well as adults. You see, God has a special concern for children. We see this in Mark 10 and also in Matthew, where Jesus said to His disciples, let the little children come to Me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. You know, the children were coming and the disciples, you know, was not try to get rid of them there. And Jesus said, no, 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 no. The children, let the children come to Me. And He took them up in His arms and He taught the children. And so our Sunday school, our teaching of the children, our VBS, reaching out to children and young people, so very important. They have their whole life ahead of them. This is a time they need to be reached. And yes, of course, adults as well. So God has a special concern for children and for animals. Even Psalm 36 says that God watches over animals. We have today kind of a twisted way of looking at things. So many people we see organizations that protect the animals, protect the wildlife, and I'm all for protecting animals. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have more concern for protecting the animals and unborn children. We have more concern for protecting animals and for protecting those who are maybe addicted to drugs or whatever it might be. You know, there's a twisted way of thinking here. And so there needs to be compassion, yes, even for the animals. But as well as for all people. 1 Timothy 2:4. God would have all people to be saved. It's God's will that all to be saved. Or as Peter says in 2 Peter 3:9, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So I don't know who you run into each day of your life. Some people are not easy to get along with. Some people are not easy to work with. Some people are not easy to be your neighbors. But remember this, God has compassion on all people. And may God give us a heart of compassion for all people. And so God is concerned for all. Very important lesson. And you look at Jonah, it's kind of the opposite. Jonah had no concern at all. He had no concern at all. He could care less. I I told him what you told me to tell him. I'm going to sit down and see what's going to happen. I have no concern at all. Jonah had pity on the vine that perished, but he didn't have any bit of compassion for the people who would perish and live eternally apart from God. And sometimes our hearts can grow cold, and we can come to the point like Jonah. We may be more concerned about the plant, about our personal comforts, than about the people around us that God has compassion on. And so this application teaches, God teaches pity and compassion. Jesus looked at the city of Jerusalem and He wept over it. Just as He approached the city the last time, looking down over the city, He started weeping, crying, knowing what was going to happen to the city, how it would be in a few years be destroyed and the temple be destroyed. He wept over it. Paul beheld the city of Athens, that godless city who had many different philosophy, many different idols, many different gods that they worshipped. And it tells us in Acts that he was greatly distressed as he looked over that city. But Jonah looked at the city of Nineveh and was angry, had no compassion at all. He needed to learn the lesson of God's pity and have a heart of compassion for the lost souls. And I'm afraid many times we need to have this lesson also. That we can look upon a city or look upon a people and have no compassion at all. Have no concern at all. And so in the book of Jonah, in chapter 1, Jonah was a prodigal prophet who ran from God. In chapter 2, Jonah was a praying prophet who ran to God. In chapter 3, Jonah was a proclaiming prophet who ran for God. But here in chapter 4, Jonah was a pouting prophet who ran against God, pouting, because he did not have his own way. That's very interesting. We look at two books here in the Bible, Jonah and Nahum. The book of Nahum, very small book, just like Jonah, are the only books in the Bible that end with a question. All the other books, there's no other books, but these two books that end with a question. The last words of the book are the question. And both books have to do with the city of Nineveh. Nahum ends with a question about God's punishment of Nineveh, while Jonah ends with a question about God's pity for Nineveh. And so, if we were to compare these two books, I think there's some lessons for us to consider. The books of Jonah and Nahum, they were final messages of warning. So let's compare these two books as we conclude our study of Jonah. Contrasting Jonah and Nahum. Jonah, of course, is the first book with four chapters. Nahum is a sequel. It's Jonah 2, only written by a different man, Nahum. And it has three chapters. Jonah was written about 760 B.C., and 100 years later, 660 B.C. was the book of Nahum. Jonah speaks about repentance from sin. And Nahum speaks about how this city of Nineveh returned to their sin. In Jonah, Nineveh is delivered. But in Nahum, Nineveh is destroyed because they had turned back from God, turned back to their sin. We see in Jonah, Israel's responsible because they should show compassion upon their enemies here, even the Assyrians in Nineveh. But in Nahum, Israel is protected. And so in Jonah, it was a chance to repent. But in Nahum, there was no chance to repent. And Jonah was a narrative of God's sending His messenger to them. And Nahum, he just declares what's going to happen. And so, I want you to think about this. Charles Spurgeon said, "Let us hope that during the rest of his life, Jonah's life, He so lived as to rejoice in the sparing mercy of God. After all, hadn't Jonah himself been spared because of God's mercy? If Jonah just thought about how God showed mercy to him, should he not have compassion upon these people? But the real issue isn't how Jonah answered God's question. The real issue is how you and I today are answering God's question. Do you agree with God that people without Christ are lost? Like God, do you have compassion for those who are lost? How do we show this compassion? How do we have concern for those in our great cities where there is so much sin and so little witness? Do we pray that the gospel would go to the people in every part of the world? And are we helping to send it there? Do we rejoice when sinners repent and trust in the Savior? All these questions and more are wrapped up in what God asked Jonah. And we can't answer for him, but we can answer for ourselves. What is the answer we give to this question? Are you right to be angry? Are you right not to have compassion? Are you right not to be concerned? And let us give to God the right answer. Let's bow in prayer. Lord God, we come before you. We thank you for the lessons that we see in Jonah. We see lessons that we need to learn. We thank you, God, that you listen, that you comfort, but that you also teach us. One of the most important lessons you teach us is that we need to have compassion and pity upon others, especially those who are lost, who have no light in their lives, who do not know the truth. And Lord, we help us, give us a heart of compassion for those who are without Christ. We pray, we ask in Jesus' name.